For all wisdom, madness, and folly were one. All works of the king had already been done. Still better than folly is wisdom divine, as light is to darkness, where light does outshine. That is from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 of Ecclesiastes from Ward Green. That's my own version of 2020, the poetic translation of the parts of the Bible that were done by me, but also by yours truly is the article that we've been studying, which is the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. We've been studying a few other articles also. Prior to that, and we are in chapter 1, paragraph 11. We've got quite a bit of reading to do today. Before the ark was first built in Noah's day, violence had become abundant on the earth. Before we start, I forgot, I was going to show you. I wanted to show you this, this is an organic vapor respirator, just a respirator with organic vapor cartridges screwed onto it. There are different types of masks with different canisters, sizes, and shapes. This is one of the round types. I think it's just you twist it and it comes off. Not sure. Yeah. Comes off like... You twist it, you know, to get it off, and you put it on. No, I haven't got it on again. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. Got to find out how to put it on now. But it's easy to connect, I believe. It's easy. Let's see. There. It should lock, shouldn't it? Did I just break it? Oh, it sort of tightens up. It just seems to tighten up. I thought it would sort of lock in place and then unlock, but it seems to just twist. But anyway, it's got an OV designation for organic vapor on the side. I don't know if I can show you that. It says OV on the side of it. NIOSH is the company, is the standard, not the company, but it's the organization NIOSH. The organization called NIOSH is the company, or the organization, I mean, that makes the standards, and OV stands for, in English, organic vapor. But organic vapor is good for dust as well, but it will handle smoke and all kinds of other, all the particles, like, it handles that, but it also handles paint and all sorts of things. So if you get an organic vapor cartridge, a pair of cartridges, that is, and you put them on your respirator like that. You can buy one maybe that already has the organic vapor cartridges, but you can use it for pollen in the hay fever season, or if you don't have the means to buy a HEPA filter, which is a really efficient particulate filter, which also works great for wildfires, smoke, and things like that. The HEPA filters work, but they're a few hundred dollars compared to that, maybe just a few tens of dollars or less. You know, it's a very small device. But, you know, it just makes it more difficult to breathe wearing it if you're doing any exercise. But it will work for just sitting around and or walking around. And I just realized I'm going to use it now whenever I go out to the other parts of my house where I don't have my HEPA filters that are completely covering every space in my house. That will prevent me from having a runny nose if I put that over my mouth. I don't even have to put it on. Just cover my mouth with it while I walk from point A to point B, and then I get back to here where I have the HEPA here running. I've got three HEPAs running around the house locally, plus I have a central HEPA. So I'm well invested in the HEPAs, which is high efficiency particulate air filter, HEPA. It removes more than 99%. I think it's more than 99.9% of all the particles of a certain size. It's very, very efficient. And the central HEPA is good, but it doesn't cover as well as the local HEPAs. You can put one in a small bathroom and keep the door shut, and you'll have beautiful, clean air in that bathroom. Just about to get an allergic reaction because I'm shutting off all my HEPAs. Before the ark was first built, violence had become abundant on the earth. Genesis 3:6. And there is a time given by Jehovah for the days of man, which was 120 years. Quote, my spirit shall not act toward man indefinitely, in that he is also flesh. Accordingly, his days shall amount to 120 years. That's from the Bible. I do believe in looking things up, but I don't believe in quoting always everything verbatim, you know, and you know, over saturating people with Bible readings against their will. But after that, Jehovah said, right. The violence, okay, where's the violence? In verse 5, Jehovah saw that the badness of man was abundant, okay. But in verse 3, he mentioned 120 years. So what did that 120 years mean? And this is where I was completely, you know, out of my depth, and I had no clue about any of this. It was not deliberate on my part. But with Noah, in our chronology, born in 3882, which was just a consequence of the genealogy, the way it worked out, and I didn't control deliberately how this was, that's why it was so interesting, or, you know, I mean, it's still not really, it's not the only way of doing things. But how much of a coincidence is it that the Hebrew calendar begins in the year 3761 BCE, right? Isn't that almost precisely 120 years, certainly, the difference between 3882? We've got to show you this. 3882, the birth of Noah. Minus 3761, a number known from the Hebrew calendar, 121, or 120 years and some months, whatever. But look at this. So why is that so coincidental? That's the year that Noah became 120 years old. So Noah was faithful, I write here. And we might be inclined to expect that he began to count the years from that time when he became 120, since he could not yet know the length of time to which Jehovah referred. In 3761, I mean, Noah was 120, and the deluge didn't come until Noah was 600 years old, so that was a long time yet to come. In the book of Jasher, chapters 5 and 6, we read an account of how the preaching was carried on by Noah for 120 years. That's interesting. But the math in the book of Jasher does not add up so well. And the account itself, that is the book of Jasher, is not considered as entirely true. The account of how the animals came to the ark is given in chapter 6 of the book of Jasher. And how Noah selected the animals to bring with him and with his family into the ark may be worth reading. So, perhaps we'll read that together now. excuse me. These are just my ragweed allergies. At that time, after the death of Methuselah, the Lord said, quoting from the book of Jasher, all of this, to Noah, go thou with thy household into the ark. Behold, I will gather to thee, this is an old English translation, all the animals of the earth, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and they shall all come and surround the ark. And thou shalt go and seat thyself by the doors of the ark. And all the beasts, the animals, and the fowls shall assemble and place themselves before thee, and such of them as shall come and crouch before thee shalt thou take and deliver into the hands of thy sons, who shall bring them to the ark, and all that will stand before thee thou shalt leave. In other words, if they don't crouch, they will be left behind. And the Lord brought this about on the next day. And animals, beasts, and fowls came in great multitudes and surrounded the ark. And Noah went and seated himself by the door of the ark. And of all flesh that crouched before him, he brought into the ark. And all that stood before him, he left upon the earth. And a lioness came with her two whelps. Whelps, I guess, are the young of the lion. Male and female, and the three crouched before Noah, and the two whelps rose up against the lioness and smote her and made her flee from her place, and she went away, and they returned to their places and crouched upon the earth before Noah. And the lioness ran away and stood in the place of the lions. And Noah saw this and wondered greatly. And he rose and took the two whelps and brought them into the ark. And Noah brought into the ark from all living creatures that were upon the earth, so that there was none left, but which Noah brought into the ark. Two and two came to Noah into the ark. But from the clean animals and clean fowls, he brought seven couples, as God had commanded him. And all the animals and beasts and fowls were still there, and they surrounded the ark at every place, and the rain had not descended till 7 days after. And on that day the Lord caused the whole earth to shake, and the sun darkened, and the foundations of the world raged, and the whole earth was moved violently, and lightning flashed, and the thunder roared, and all the fountains in the earth were broken up, such as was not known to the inhabitants before. And God did this mighty act in order to terrify the sons of men, that there might be no more evil upon earth. And still, the sons of men would not return from their evil ways. And they increased the anger of the Lord at that time, and did not even direct their hearts to all this. And at the end of 7 days, in the 600th year of the life of Noah, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And I want to mention that 600th year also agrees with the Bible. So the book of Jasher agrees with the Bible that Noah was in his 600th year when the waters of the deluge came. And all the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, as the Bible also says. And Noah and his household and all the living creatures that were with him came into the ark on account of the waters of the flood, and the Lord shut him in. And all the sons of men that were left upon the earth became exhausted through evil on account of the rain, for the waters were coming more violently upon the earth. And the animals and beasts were still surrounding the ark. And the sons of men assembled together about 700,000 men and women, And they came unto Noah to the ark. And they called to Noah, saying, open for us, that we may come to thee in the ark, and wherefore shall we die? And Noah with a loud voice answered them from the ark, saying, have you not all rebelled against the Lord, and said that he does not exist? And therefore the Lord brought upon you this evil to destroy and cut you off from the face of the earth. Is not this the thing that I spoke of, to you, or spoke to you of, 120 years back? And you would not hearken to the voice of the Lord? And now do you desire to live upon earth? So this is interesting, because this is the 120 years prior to being 600 years old. So this would be from his 480th year to his 600th year, which is different from the 120 years from his birth until his 120th year, right? But because this is the book of Jasher, we're not concerned if it disagrees with the other way that we calculate, because the book of Jasher is not correct chronologically speaking, generally. And they said to Noah, we are ready to return to the Lord, only open for us that we may live and not die. And Noah answered them, saying, behold, now that you see the trouble of your souls, you wish to return to the Lord. Why did you not return during these 120 years, which the Lord granted you as the determined period? But now you come and tell me this, on account of the trouble of your souls. Now also the Lord will not listen to you, neither will he give ear to you on this day, so that you will not now succeed in your wishes. And the sons of men approached in order to break into the ark, to come in on account of the rain, for they could not bear the rain upon them. And the Lord sent all the beasts and animals that stood round the ark, and the beasts overpowered them and drove them from that place. And every man went his way, and they again scattered themselves upon the face of the earth. And the rain was still descending upon the earth. And it descended 40 days and 40 nights, and the waters prevailed greatly upon the earth. And all flesh that was upon the earth or in the waters died. Right? Well, the fish wouldn't die, would they? Well, perhaps even some of the fish did, or maybe a lot of fish. But we don't expect the fish necessarily died. It was the breathing things that died, as it says in the Bible. All breathing things. Whether men, animals, beasts, creeping things, or birds of the air. And there only remained Noah and those that were with him in the ark. Those that were with him in the ark were, of course, his wife, his three sons, and his three sons' wives. And the waters prevailed, and they greatly increased upon the earth, and they lifted up the ark, and it was raised from the earth. And this is remarkable. I like that, because there's a scripture. I'm going to look this up. It's getting warm in here because I've been distilling water, and so I've been running the air conditioning as well very high, and now the heat from the water distiller has made me very warm. I guess I'll take my hat off. It's too warm. But it corresponds. Let's see if I can find this. 1 Peter 3 and 21 says, that which corresponds to this. Right? But if you look here in the previous verse, I think, where is it? Eight souls in verse 20 were carried safely through the water. That which corresponds to this in verse 21 is also now saving you, namely baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. In other words, it didn't save Noah by virtue of the destruction of all flesh, but the request made to God for a good conscience. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which was a raising up, which is fascinating because there's a correspondence in the raising up of the ark by the flood waters, the raising of the ark. Just like Jesus was raised up from the dead, it's a raising idea. We see thus, and this is the final sentence of this paragraph, that the animals acted instinctively, and that Noah was in wonder at their very wise instinctive nature. Isn't that amazing what the book of Jasher gives us? Even though it gives us a different chronology by saying that the 120 years happened just before the deluge, which is another, probably it's also valid. Maybe there was another 120 years that corresponded to that as well. But the 120 years from the birth of Noah also indicated the, in our chronology, the exact position of what we know is today, the beginning of the Jewish calendar, still today. So how does that work? It's beyond our understanding. But just like the wise animals are beyond our understanding, the Bible account of these events is found at Genesis chapters 6 through 9. And that was the book of Jasher, chapter 6. And then we have a beautiful picture by Martin called The Deluge. Maybe I can click on it and get it into a better size for viewing here. And you see even he depicts the ark as having a sail and as having a prow with a beautiful curl on the front of it. But we don't know that there was a sail on the ark. It's interesting. Maybe there was, because we just don't know about that. It's something that is of great interest to ponder, I think. It's food for thought, maybe. But it's something to wonder at, is all of these things that God has done. And let's resume our, and perhaps this will be, I think this should be our final viewing of the Kon-Tiki movie. Thor Heyerdahl crossing the Pacific Ocean with his crew and finally arriving in Polynesia from Peru.
Here we planted various seedlings that we had brought with us across the ocean, just as their forefathers had done 1,500 years ago. One of these was the bottle gourd, an important plant grown both by the Peruvian Indians and the inhabitants of these islands before the white man ever came here. The prehistoric voyagers must have carried them across the sea, together with the sweet potato or yam, as well as other plants that were common to both areas. When we arrived on Rarotonga, we discovered a small boy who was on his deathbed, suffering from a dangerous boil on his head. We managed to make radio contact with a ham in Los Angeles who phoned a doctor. The latter directed the operation by radio, and with the help of penicillin, we saved the boy's life. A few weeks later, news of the arrival of the Kon-Tiki in French Polynesia had spread from New York to Paris and from Paris to Tahiti, where the governor dispatched a boat to fetch us and tow the raft to Tahiti, pearl of the Pacific.
I want to mention also something about what people have believed with regard to vitamin C. It's not very well known that vitamin C has an immense amount of power to heal infections. It's just that the amount of vitamin C needs to be sufficient so as to destroy the infection, and you don't need to take antibiotics virtually never do you need anything like that. You can, I guess, contemplate, but I don't think you should ever go there because it's not as healthy as vitamin C is. But you can take vitamin C in massive quantities, but the only problem with taking it in a large dose all at once is it can cause gas, and so you want to take it in 2 grams per 15 minutes until you cure or start to get gas, whatever, and then you're done. Whereas, you know, if you took 100 grams all at once, you could get an immense amount of gas, which would be painful, but it wouldn't really hurt you, I don't think. Anyway, it's much safer than killing all the bacteria in your body. It's much healthier to use vitamin C than penicillin or any other antibiotic. I just wanted to mention that, okay?
When we arrived in Tahiti, I was greeted by my old Polynesian friend, Chief Terriero, who during my stay there 10 years earlier had adopted me as his 28th son, under the name of Terai Matiapa, meaning blue sky.
Also, it may well be that there are many medical professionals who will deny this about vitamin C, but it's actually known among the doctors who do use vitamin C. It's been highly successful, and yet, just like many other things, even the Bible is denied by many, many people because they are in a different belief system, and so many doctors will deny that vitamin C has this incredible effectiveness, but it's demonstrated over and over again, and it certainly works phenomenally and very swiftly, very rapidly. You can cure massive infections in just a few days. Okay, let's continue.
The successful execution of the Kon-Tiki expedition does not of itself provide proof of the validity of my theory of racial migration. What it proved was that the Polynesian islands are within reach of prehistoric vessels from Peru, and that primitive man can undertake limitless voyages across the ocean. The decisive factor is not the distance, but wind and current moving in the same direction day in, day out, all the year round. Trade winds and equatorial currents are caused by the rotation of the Earth and have remained unchanged throughout human history.
What a remarkable film. That was Kon-Tiki from 1950. Thor Heyerdahl was the man behind these expeditions, including the later expeditions, which were called Ra 1 and Ra 2. The first one being called Ra, of course, and then the second one being called Ra 2. Ra being the Egyptian sun god, which was adopted as the name of that expedition, which was from Africa to Barbados, using reed boats, which were not the same as the raft they used in the case of the Kon-Tiki, which was 9 balsa logs that were roped together. So that concludes our study for today of the Ark of Urartu and also of the Kon-Tiki movie, and it concludes the Kon-Tiki, the movie. And yeah, we can talk a little bit about that movie. It showed that it was possible for a group of men to sail quite independently, you know, using the trade winds that blew from east to west, from South America to Polynesia, the islands of Polynesia, and they were able to, you know, eat the food that was provided in the fish that would even just jump on board and die on the deck. They had plenty of fish. During their expedition, I don't know what we call it, a journey, an expedition, what do you call it? It was a remarkable journey, a wonderful we need a word. Let's use, okay, let's look it up. Let's use something. Let's use our thesaurus. Let's try that. Thesaurus, we'll look up expedition and see what we find. Their odyssey, their voyage. Yeah, voyage, of course. It was by raft. Their enterprise, their mission, their a trek would be more like over land, right? But this was a voyage. Their quest. Yeah, it was a quest. They were trying to prove, Thor Heyerdahl was trying to prove that it was possible for the Polynesian peoples to have originated in South America. That's what he was trying to prove. And later, it was more or less proven that that wasn't the case. Genetically, it was shown that the Polynesians did not originate in South America, or so it appeared from the genetics. Whether you take that as, whether or not that's proof, or whether you wish to take that as proof, whether you wish to or not, with regard to the descent of the Polynesians, but that was quite an example of the endurance of men, or the triumphing of men over nature too, just as also we might well believe the survival of Noah and the eight, including him who survived on the ark, was also an example. And it's September 13th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1547 hours, North American Eastern Daylight Time. Sometime in November, I believe, we'll be coming back to Standard Time, but in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, this is Cassie, saying bye for now. I'm Ward Green, I love you very much, and thank you for listening and watching. And that was The Ark of Urartu, Chapter 1, Paragraph 11.